the two sources of our income, Hoopa Valley Tribal Council and CPB, are our two major sources. We do raise funds from renting our equipment out sometimes, and sometimes some companies and some organizations pay us to run PSAs. We're going to be trying to get some underwriting from people, donations from big businesses. We're looking into that, see if they would throw back $1,000 or so to us. So if we get 40 of them, that's $40,000, and it's a good salary for somebody full-time, plus whatever else they need for we need to provide for them to do their job. So that would be cool. So those are the kinds of things we're looking at as far as funding goes. And as I said, I mentioned a little earlier, the eligibility in order to get those funds from CPB is 18 hours a day, 365 days a year. Where we're at right now, we only need one full-time manager. And if we can, and $100,000 in non-federal funding sources. And if we can get beyond that, if we get up to level two with $200,000 in non-federal funding sources, the next level also requires us to have four full-time people, or two full-time people and four full-time equivalents. So if we have four full-time people that are being paid without with non-federal funding sources, not CPB money, then we would be eligible for the next round or for the next level. And at that level, CPB says, not only did you make the $200,000, you made even more. Now we're going to give you a bonus on what it is that more that you brought in. For example, in fiscal year 13, we did accomplish and get up to level C, and CPB awarded us additional $20,000. In fiscal year 14, we dropped. We didn't have the people. We couldn't say we had the people fund it from non-federal funding sources because we had to augment with CPB money to maintain the staff. Well, that knocked us out of that level, so we don't get that bonus. So now we'll drop back. I think it's going to be like $144,000. So that, it'll work, and we'll make it work, but it could always work better. Everything can always be better. So that's kind of what we're working on. We're trying to figure out, well, how can we get ourselves back up to that? Because what if – you never know where the money is going to be drawn away from. It just happens. And when it happens, you got to be prepared, and you got to have a fail-safe or a contingency plan. So that's what we're working on. Are there other grants available to radio? And that's a truly tricky one, because there are grants. There are grants available to, and there are big grants that are available to radio stations. And those grants are project grants, like from the endowment the National Endowment for the Arts, the big ones, the Catherine T. and John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. They award, you just take a look at PBS. And where do those funds come from that make those programs? Big corporations. Well, they expect a big project, too, a big product, a production. So then that takes more staff, because, you watch those programs, you watch those movies, you watch those documentaries, and you see all the people who put that thing together. Maybe you only heard one person talking the whole thing, or they had a camera and they're just doing the scenery thing. Well, somebody had to edit all that stuff together because they had a lot of rolls of digital footage on there. They had to edit that down. Then they had to do a narrative. Somebody had to write that. There's a lot of work that goes into a major production that will award you a big chunk of money. And yes, that project will fund and pay a lot of people. But you have to have the people first in your studio, on your staff, within your reach to say, I got the people, here they are, this is their talent, this is an example of what they've already done. we can do this. And we have to convince that foundation that we can do this. Well, we did it before. This is a sample. And they say, okay, we like what you did. Here, do this project for us. And we have to deliver it within a time frame. So it takes a while to do that. And when you have just five people who are doing your daily operations, it makes it very difficult to take on a major project like that. So, yes, there are monies out there that are big, that will employ more people, but you have to have the people on board now. There are small grants available that you could do small projects, and there will be small awards for it. And it may pay a person for 6 months or so, but then when that project ends and you get paid for it, then you're in a position where you say, well, thank you for what you did, and you have to lay that person off. So that's kind of like, that's an option. You could do it that way. A lot of people do. A lot of stations do it that way. But if you want to be a business, and that's what radio is a business, and if you want to be a department and use an opportunity to employ people, you have to be able to employ people on the full term, ongoing basis, one full year, 2 full years. It's really difficult to say, and people are saying, hey, I'll take on that job for a year. I'll take on that job for 6 months. No, people need jobs. Understand that. That's the economy we're in. So we like to be able to offer people meaningful work on a long-term basis. Otherwise, it's kind of like a disservice to them, I think, to say, yeah, come on. And, oh, it's done. Thank you. No, I don't want to do that. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't think I am. But that's how we work in the system. Another option that we could do, and I've been trying to get this passed through the Tribal Council, is the Assistance to Native Americans, the A&A grant. Now, their A&A grant is really a cool thing. You know, Tribal Education has A&A grants. The museum had A&A grants. And I would like to have an A&A grant. And what that is $100,000 a year for 3 years. $100,000 for 3 years. You have to have a plan. You have to have a proposal. You have to say, this is how you're going to use it for this purpose. What I would do with it is I would hire two. When I first heard about this, I always say, oh, do three people. But what you have to pay people on a professional level these days with the fringe benefit packages and all that, well, maybe we can get two. And those two people would be a development director, somebody who's going to go out there and come up some ideas of how we can get more smaller bits of money coming in on a regular basis. Somebody who's going to do a lot of our campaigns of fundraising. You know, we gave it a try. We gave it the old college try. Said, hey, come on, folks, you can donate to us and we'll get this for you. And, you know, we'll put some energy into it. And it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of organizing. I know you hear us on the radio doing this, but the planning that went into it and the tracking that went into it was a lot deeper than what you saw. It's just like the iceberg. You only see the tip. There's a lot that goes on underneath. So if we had one person, that's all they did was organize that. They didn't have to do anything else. Then coordinate it with us and say, okay, this is how I got, this is the plan. This is the plan, and this is what we need to put in place. Then we wouldn't have to be spending a lot of our time meeting to say, well, what do you think? How can we do this? I don't know. How about what if we do this? No, that's not right. Okay, well, let's get somebody on board that has the experience. Not somebody who says, yeah, I'd like to give it a try, but somebody who has the experience, has a know-how, that's done this before. Maybe that person has to move here to Hoopa. Don't know. That's a possibility. But if we want to show that we can raise our own money, that's only going to help us. So that's what I'm looking for, is somebody, if I had an A&A grant, that'd be one of the people I'd hire. The other person I'd like to hire is somebody on the other element of it, because like I said before, you have to be able to produce the projects, the production. So I would hire a well-experienced producer, somebody who would be what I would call the lead producer of KIDE. This is the person who is going to be involved in every project that is going that requires the delivery of an audio project from this station. And they would be involved with everything from the development to the training to the idea concepts, along working with the development director. I can, with a little bit of help, and here's the help I have to work with, we can produce this product. Find me somebody who would fund this product. And so that's a combined effort. Those would be the two people I would hire with an ANA grant. I like to hire an administrative assistant, which is the other leg of this three-legged stool that would develop more funds for the radio station and add more services. But if I would need some more money to do that. Maybe we can do it. I don't know. Maybe that's the job of the development director. Let's work on maintaining your salary, the lead producer's salary, and add another salary as an administrative assistant who would be doing the research to help organize the operations at the station, a person who would actually be learning how community radio works and how to manage the station, because at some point I'm retiring. So who's going to take my place? We can start all over again. That's an option. But the other option is let's build. Let's keep building. Let's have a plan. Let's think 20 years from now. What's this station going to sound like? What we would like it to sound like? Then just once we identify where it is we want to go, then we have to devise a way to get there. So an administrative assistant is another person we need on board as soon as possible. Some people asked about, well, why don't you do commercials? Well, we're a non-commercials license. That's the way the FCC has worked this out. Non-commercial license. Well, why don't you change it to a commercial license? Well, the FCC has an answer to that too. No, you can't do that. If you want to do that, you can't tell us what not to do. Well, yes, we can. Okay. But if you want to do that, this is the step you have to take. And this is the process. If you want to change this license into a commercial license, then what you end up doing is taking this market, this Eastern Humboldt County market, and putting it on the table and saying, hey, you put it on an auction block. That's what it is. You put it on the auction block, and you say, there is a frequency right here in Eastern Humboldt County. It's not going to be 91.3 FM because that's reserved just for non-commercial stations. It's from 88 to 92. And all the different frequencies within that is non-commercial. So it'd be a different frequency altogether. It would go to the highest bidder. The FCC would put it on the table. I went through this process in trying to buy the license that was available in Willow Creek. This was a couple summers ago. And I learned how to do this process. It's kind of fun. But you have to have money in your pocket to put on the table, say, here's my down payment. This is like, I'm going to ante up this much money, and I want to bid on that station there in Willow Creek. Well, I wanted to put up $55,000, but I was only authorized to go $25,000 because we had a pool of money from this other grant that was available to the tribe. And they said, okay, we'll cut out $25,000. Play with that. So I tried. Well, up against some big competition, this other fellow who actually ended up winning this license had $250,000 on the table. Well, I gave it the best I shot. I did. I was trying to manipulate that money, working it, and I was in the lead for 11 rounds. And then I said, I'm out of money. This is the last bid I can make. And he raised it just a little bit more. He got the license. He got the signal that license for $28,000. When I stopped bidding on it, no one else bid against it. So he had it for $28,000. Where is that license now? he moved it to the coast. So he's got a couple more years, and he'll start up a new station. But it'll be on the coast. It won't be in Willow Creek. So that's how the game's played when you get into the commercial realm. Yeah, somebody can buy this license. You can put it up and change it into thinking you're doing a commercial. But if you don't win that license, you don't ante up enough to win that auction, somebody else will win it. And they have the option, they can move it to Atlanta, Georgia. So it's a much safer bet, and it's much more secure to keep it a non-commercial radio station and work on it here. Let's build it here. We got it. We're one of 66 native-owned licenses in the country. 500 tribes, probably more. Only 66 of us have a license. Some of them are community licenses, but, I mean, they're not tribal licenses. They're tribal community licenses that serve a specific tribal community. But there's just 66. So that's where we're at. So how can we change? How can KIDE change and improve? The biggest change to make is to do more community engagement. We need to look outside the walls and hear the community. We need to hear your story. Questions that we need to consider. What does the community value? What does the community fear? To what extent does the community engage in the planning of the quality of life they want to experience for the next 20 years? What can KIDE offer to help local Native people understand the complications of a life not of their making? Is it possible for KIDE to translate the protestations of individuals as individual messages calling for improving the community quality of life? By taking these actions, will people value KIDE more? And what's the bigger picture? Well, the bigger picture is in relation to KIDE, is improving our assets. How do we work within the community? Who are we connected with? And this is, right now in this PowerPoint, I have a concept map. It's going to take a good hour, 2 hours just to explain this map to you. And so just at that, it's a complicated web of how things interact within our community, within the broadcast world, within the Native broadcast world, within federal government, within the workings of the station staff, everything. So that's essentially, that would be part of the town hall meeting type of a thing, because then you'll be able to see this whole visual, and then you ask more questions. So where are the employment funds? That's a good question. All societies, regardless of their economic model, have used media as a fundamental social development tool. Every one of them. This includes tribes and Native communities before European or American contact. Before colonization, we had established communicators, orators, storytellers, people who told us and shared with us current life. Once our lands were colonized, we lost our ability to maintain the enrichment of the trade that the trade routes gave us. Modern mass media is not working for us. It distracts us. We've got a lot of other messages, tons and tons of messages pounding on us every moment. Hey, look at me. Hey, watch this. Hey, do this. Hey, buy that. Mass media is not working for us. Until Native media is financially fortified, we won't again experience what we once lived. The media is the message. That's what the commercials do. Here's the message. Live this way. The American media message is to consume. Native media needs to be a sovereign right acknowledged as a missing building block of Native society within the confusing realm of the American society. We got to be able to control the story. We got to be able to control the mechanism of the story. And that means we have to build another web of communications. We have to build this information trade route. We got the mass, make the mass media work for us. And we use Facebook, but how else can it be used? Now, KIDE has a Facebook page. We have a Twitter account. We're going to be streaming. But how are we going to use this tool? What's the content going to be? And how do we connect with the other Native tribes? And how come all the other tribes don't have the media systems that we have? Or maybe we don't have their media systems. Well, how do we connect all this together, and how do we make it real? And that's the ongoing project. So, in a nutshell, I guess, or a big nutshell, that one is Community Radio 101. This is a building block. This is a tool for community building, KIDE. It's a Hoopa word, K-I-D-E. It's an antler taken off the animal and used as a tool, or it's decorated. That's why our logo is a decorated antler. And it is a tool of the community. So how do we make it a useful tool? Well, it is a useful tool. How do we make better use of it as a tool to build the community, to create better understanding? Well, this is what I'm hoping Call KIDE will develop into. It's going to be a system where people can call in and let's discuss issues of the day. This program is just a sample of what I'd like it to be, what I'm hoping it will turn into. It's a pre-recorded program. Eventually, it's going to be a live call-in program, and we're going to have all the technology and all the buttons all connecting, and when you push them, different things happen that we want to happen. And you're part of the happening. So let's bring up the music one more time here, and I'll come back in just a moment. Okay, we're coming to the end of our hour, and sometimes we could just ramble on and fill up the whole hour, and sometimes we won't be able to. So one of the things I did mention earlier is the Community Advisory Board, and it's going to be an element that we need to develop. We need to have your input, and it needs to be a system. We tried one once before, but I kind of got the idea that it was just too bureaucratic. It was just like, got to have bylaws, and then. And I think it could be really simple. I mean, sometimes we're thrown policies and directions and things, and they're just too confusing. And people say, I don't want to do that. I just want to come in and do this, you know. Well, come on, let's try this. The Community Advisory Board, and the operative words are, it's community, and it is advisory. So anybody in the community can be a part of it. And we like to have as many people from different walks of life, people who maybe KIDE is not broadcasting what you want to hear. Okay, be a part of the Community Advisory Board and give us some input. What would you want to hear? How can we do that? Who else will want it? I'm thinking, let's get some feedback on what it is that we do. We could also use a Community Advisory Board, say, you know, we'd like to try this program. And we'll make you samples of the program. Take a listen to this. Take it home. Listen to it. Give me some feedback. What do you think? How well do you think this would be received? What time of day would it fit? would also share with you, the people who come, the operating budget. You know, what is it about? You know, how are we using that? We'll have we'll share slides of at a glance views of current operations. We're working on this. This is what we're doing. We've got some outreach things. We have different things we're trying right now. We've been working on doing some programming on health. We want to go into education. We want to go into environment. We want to go into economy. I hear that there are people out there right now on a grassroots level who want to talk about how do you improve the economy? Well, it just so happens, Call KIDE is thinking about that too. And let's have some discussions on that. What does that mean? How can it happen? We kind of wait around for some consultant to come by and throw them a few $1,000s, and they'll come up with a plan, and we'll take that plan and we'll put it on the shelf. Well, we want to be able to not do that. There's got to be another way of doing it. We have some other things that we were working on. One of the big elements that we're working on is coming, again, coming really soon to some place, site near you. What we're going to have is we have a calendar brief. And this calendar brief is you know, like there's that marquee over at the elementary school in the end of the gym, and it kind of gives you a message as you go by. Well, what we want to do, and we've got these computers that we want to put in public places, and what they're going to do is be event reminders. This is happening here at this time, and this is why it's happening, and it'll just roll. We've been tinkering around with this and making some improvements, and I think it's just about ready to go. I just have to make some agreements with some sites, like, well, maybe have one at the post office, NF Lobby, Kamau, CR, different places where people gather that are secure inside, because these are computers that could be mounted on the wall. And so KID owns them, and we're going to be offering a rolling idea, a calendar brief of these are the events that are happening right now, where they're happening, what time they're happening. And it could be happening because we're going to be streaming on the internet. We'll try to include the other river communities too. And maybe we'll have another unit in the post office in Orleans and the post office in Willow Creek, so that people can give us their events and we can keep their community involved in this too. And we can start spreading out the outreach of the station and the information that you give us, we can share out. So that's how that's going to work. So that's coming soon. We're putting the final touches on that, and we'll have to make the agreements and get those things posted. So when you have your car wash and your bake sale and everything, let us know about that. And we can put it up on the calendar brief, and people will be able to see that. We're working with the Hoopa High School. We got a student, Nation Richards, and she's working on Hoopa Language Bingo. We're going to bring that back. So that's exciting. And she's also going to be giving us the reports from the high school with what's going on. And we're leaving it, and like I say, radio is only limited by your imagination. If she can contribute and find other people, other students who can contribute to this, it'll make it, and then we'll enhance her program too. So we'll be working with her on that. So this is what we're looking at. We'll also probably at the close of every program give you time to call in with your ideas of things that you would like Call KIDE to address. So maybe the upcoming issues, when I have the opportunity to look a little bit deeper and learn about that topic and find somebody else who may know more about that topic and have that person on here as a guest, then we'll talk about that too. But still want to be able to have this an open type of communications, because that's what communications is. It's got to go two ways. Otherwise, you're just talking on the cell phone to yourself. Something I don't know. But that's how it's going to be, and looking forward to adding that technology and opening up those phone lines, and you'll be hearing this music hopefully over and over as we start going with call KIDE. We'll have the 800 number. We'll have engineers with people in the background taking down your messages. This is our 35th year of operation. What are we going to do now? What's next? Well, what's next is you. But we want you to join us however you can, as a listener, as a donor, a community advisory board member, as a volunteer, hopefully as a staff member, a paid staff member at that. So we're going to build. We're going to keep building. We've been here 35 years now. What are we going to do in the next 35 years? We'll be 70 years old. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for listening. Joseph Orozco, KIDE, Hoopa, California.